Okay, all recordings are rolling. Let's have some fun tonight. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and all those ships out at sea. This is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the South Cars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. The SCAR server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System provided by KB8ZGL, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off this system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for our digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control for this session tonight is going to be Kathy, our net manager, K6SUN in Vero Beach, Florida. And her backup will be our assistant net manager. Got a great team rolling here tonight, and that's Mr. Syracuse in the form of KC2RMO. My name is Gordon, calls KY6V, and I'm just making the intro here for the evening. Prior to starting, I would like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled at this time, and if so, call now, please. Okay, all's quiet on the Western Front. That's good. Do we have anybody celebrating their birthday? Today, yesterday, tomorrow, last week, or the week coming? We'll put you right up in front of the podium before the crowd gets into the room. Over. All right, once again, we're not getting any older. This is the South Cars VOIP Global Family Hour, and the intent of this net is to encourage members, their families, and their friends worldwide to enter into an informal social net highlighting third-party traffic through the member station. And as mentioned, our program for this evening is going to be the ins and outs and all of the fun of Mardi Gras at this time of the year. Now let me advise all stations connected that this net may be recorded and will be recorded, because I've already got the recordings on, for future presentation on our website as a podcast. So all stations participating will be part of that recording. So let me buy a nickel here a momento. Kathy, I'm going to throw it in your direction to get things started. Thank you for running the show tonight. I need to ask you if you are in proper attire. Are you wearing green, purple, and gold for the Mardi Gras? KY6V to K6SUN.
Well, thank you so much, Gordon, for opening this evening, and well, tell you, negative. I'm in some comfortable attire, not and the gold and the green and the purple, but those are nice combinations. So everyone, I want to thank you once again for joining us this evening. And you know, my temperature tonight is about 69 degrees still. It was a high of 77, but it's going to go down a little bit to 58. But it's a grand evening and a grand topic, and it's my pleasure to be your NCS this evening. So I want to welcome everyone once again to the South Cars Global Family Hour tonight, where we hope to give you some information on the Mardi Gras as well as what happens during the parades and the events. You know, if you haven't had a chance, check out our website for a preview of Mardi Gras. You know, I've looked at those crawfish, Steve, if you're listening, and I still haven't had any of it, but they look very inviting. The Mardi Gras celebration in New Orleans and other areas of Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama started actually in January. And tonight we will be discussing the activities, the history, the parades, and of course asking for check-ins and comments. Mardi Gras is only a legal holiday in Louisiana. Mardi Gras is a holiday just like Christmas or Easter in Louisiana, and accordingly, there is no official Mardi Gras merchandise or official Mardi Gras website. Though Louisiana remains the only state in which Mardi Gras is on the books, nearby Alabama and Mississippi have acquired their own Mardi Gras traditions, and Fat Tuesday celebrations are now held across the nation. I want to first of all thank Steve, KF5VH, for providing me with some very interesting information and photographs, and I want to thank my backup tonight, KC2RMO. You know, Mardi Gras music, it's parades, it's picnics, it's floats, it's king cakes, it's excitement, and one big holiday in New Orleans, or for that matter, in the South. Everyone is wearing purple, green, and gold, and adorned with long beads caught from the beautiful floats. Let me buy a nickel. You know, you'll see a lot of crazy costumes and kids everywhere, and both locals and visitors having a great time. People sit on the ground, they throw balls, they play music, they eat great food, and they watch the crowds walk by between parades. During Mardi Gras, all of the businesses and roads are practically shut down. People walk everywhere and they meet new friends. People are dressed in those crazy costumes and kids are everywhere and they love it. How did it all begin and have the traditions changed? You know, there's events in New Orleans, Lafayette, Alabama, Mississippi, and probably tons of other states and other communities. You know, there is just so much behind the Mardi Gras, and we probably could not cover it all tonight, but we're sure going to try. Mardi Gras is French for Fat Tuesday, always the day before Lent begins. Easter moves, Lent moves, and Mardi Gras moves with them. Tuesday is pretty clear. Why fat? Lent is a time traditionally where people who observe the over 40-day period will sacrifice something they like. Be it food or a sinful activity or something else, it is avoided during Lent. Mardi Gras is the last day to just live it up. You might also hear Lundi Gras, which is Fat Monday. No good reason to wait until Tuesday to start the parties. So without further ado, has anyone ever attended a Mardi Gras or have any information they wish to share? Or maybe you just want to be one of those first check-ins this evening. I do know we have someone out there that has some expert information, and hopefully his voice holds up to share that. So how about some check-ins at this point? Suffixes, please.
RMO.
And 6, Victor.
All right, I have 2 check-ins to start us off. I have RMO, and I have 6, Victor. Anybody else out there want to join these fine gentlemen to begin our session this evening? If so, please come aboard. All right, hearing nothing, I'm going to begin with my backup this evening, KC2RMO. Gary, I hope that you're in that attire as well. Purple, green, and gold. Thanks for being my backup. And tell us, have you ever gone to the Mardi Gras, or maybe they have some celebration up there in Syracuse? So with that, what would you have to share with us this evening?
Well, Kath, actually, I am wearing purple, green, and gold. I spilled dinner on me, and I'm really not sure what that stuff was anyway. But hello there, everybody. It's great to be here with you tonight. No, I've never been to Mardi Gras. That is something that has always fascinated me. That is something I've always wanted to do. Would be to go to the Mardi Gras. It just seems really, really cool. I think New Orleans is a place that has held a degree of fascination for me through the years, and you know, want to see every now and then when I'm feeling my oats. I have been known to do a little second line dance, you know, through the house. So, much to my lovely wife's chagrin, who will not, by the way, be joining us tonight. She's under the weather, so we've got her to bed, and she's watching TV just trying to recover, trying to recharge her batteries, taking her Z-Pack, and hopefully we'll be feeling better in a day or so. So that's what the hope is anyway. But I'm really looking forward, like you said. Let me just buy a nickel. Really looking forward to Steve and maybe, you know, his take on the Mardi Gras. Hope he is in good voice tonight, because that's really where I'm at. Because you know, why mess around with getting it secondhand when you can get it from somebody who's in the know. So that's that for that. One aside, anyway, I wanted to pass along. It's totally unrelated to Mardi Gras, but if anybody was listening to 10 meters and 20 meters today, the bands were insane. There's a contest going on, that's for one thing, but propagation is off the wall. I mean, I was hearing everything from Argentina to Bulgaria. It was insane, and then it was on a under $100 SDR with a bunch of old thermostat wire for an antenna. So, so pretty cool stuff. But back to the topic at hand. Let's Mardi Gras on, and we'll send it back to the net. This is KC2RMO. Oh, by the way, let me buy one more nickel very quickly. I was wondering if you could supply any feedback on the audio. I changed computers and hoping to hear a good audio report. So back to the net.
Well, Gary, you're sounding fantastic, but you're sounding as usual, so I don't know if that's a good report for you or not, but you sound fine for me. Hopefully my audio is okay as well. I was having a little problem this morning connecting for some reason, or this afternoon, but hopefully it'll be okay. But you never know in this area whether we'll lose anything. But you're sounding great. And thanks for your sharing us with about Stephanie being under the weather. It seems to be going around an awful lot. My school, my principal, and assistant principal were under it. And I actually came home Friday with a slight little sore throat. So I took that vitamin C, and I feel much better. So hopefully she'll feel better real soon. And I hope to share a lot with you this evening. And you know, Steve has been under the weather. I understand he actually got a shot that may have helped him, but hopefully he can share tonight. If not, I do have information that he has sent me, but he is a person in the know because it's right in his area, and he has a lot he could share with us. But if you haven't looked on that website, check some of those pictures. There's a YouTube video as well, and I think that's probably in his area, that all those pictures. So thank you, Gary. Hopefully you'll come back aboard as we continue on with some of this great information we have. So with that, I'll break with you, and I'm going to pick you up, Mr. Gordon, 6th Victor. What would you like to share with us? Have you ever been to Mardi Gras? I know you've been in different areas. So have you ever been there? Have you ever had those crawfish that look very inviting on the website? So over to you, KY6V from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Well, thanks again, Kathy, and good evening, everybody. Gordon, KY6V, Central Florida. We're about 68 degrees right now and headed downward. We're supposed to level out at about 51 tonight, from what I'm being told, but it's been an absolutely gorgeous day. Sunshine, lollipops, moonbeams, and the whole nine yards. No rain and gentle winds and just pretty, pretty stuff. I'll address Gary here first before your question, Kathy. Audio sounds excellent. The level is just a tad, and I'm saying an RCH low, not bad at all, than your normal. Let me put it that way. So just a little a gentle boost would put you right back up where you always have been, Gary. Great on the bands. I had heard that was happening. I know that Doug down in Fort Myers, GYF, was trying to get a hold of Mike over in Israel on 10 meters. And I didn't hear if that really took place or not. If Doug checks in tonight, maybe we'll find out. Let me buy a nickel here for a moment. No, to answer your question, Kathy, I have never attended the Mardi Gras. And I'm sorry for that. I have been through that area on multiple times. I have spent several days in a hotel on Bourbon Street. I know a little bit about New Orleans. I've visited some of their clubs. Gary will appreciate this. You know, I grew up playing the trumpet. Al Hurt was one of my favorite trumpet players, and he had a club just one block down from where we were staying in this hotel. So I got to get in and see one of his performances and just absolutely loved it. I've never tried the cuisine that we're talking about here tonight, crawfish in particular. I understand it's a little bit like lobster, and I love lobster if I get the right stuff to put on top of it. And I'm sure they've got that in Louisiana. And I'm not really talking that red hot stuff either. So I've never been to the Mardi Gras. I've heard a lot about it. We're featuring some pictures on our centerfold on the homepage of our website right now, guys and gals. Take a look. See what you think. And that's it from me right now. Oh, I wanted to mention one other thing. Let me buy a nickel. Short nickel, as Gary says. This stuff that you spilled on yourself, Gary, that green, the purple, and the gold, just don't let Stephanie give you a bad time about this, because the green, as I understand, stands for faith. The purple stands for justice. And the gold stands for power. Am I quoting that correctly, boss? K6SUN from KY6V.
Well, Gordon, actually you are, and that is later on in the program. I was going to share what each of them meant. But, you know, when I'm thinking of those colors, I think of those jesters at times that have the hats with the bells on the end. And they're usually those colors. And I bet you at Mardi Gras there's a lot of those with those colors and those outfits. And I've seen quite some pictures. But I, too, have not been to even to New Orleans. And some areas, I guess, if Steve is able to tell us, we want to stay away from as well, and that is the French Quarter, and I'll go into a little bit with that. But thank you, both of you, for checking in this evening right at the beginning. And I'm going to continue on, but anyone out there, you know, as we continue on, anytime you want to just jump in and talk about Mardi Gras or talk about what it means, we sure hope that you do, or even if it's just to check in. But I'm going to go into a little bit of the information from Steve, and then I'm going to see if he'll come aboard and share with us, but we do want to save his voice. So let me buy a nickel here. You know, KF5VH is Steve. He's the one that's been making our website what it looks today. He's been putting all those pictures on there. You know, he lives in Lafayette, Louisiana. And New Orleans is about, I think, about a 2.5 hour away from him if the traffic doesn't get to you. Lafayette has the second largest Mardi Gras celebration in the country after New Orleans. Lafayette prides itself on a family-friendly environment, which can still be pretty exciting for visitors. You know, he tells us that the parade route is about 3.9 miles long, and, you know, there's parades, tons of parades every day, and I'm going to go through some of those. Other cities have their own routes. Approximately 5,500 barricades along the route and adjacent areas for crowd control and safety reasons. They utilize 7 30 cubic yard roll-off dumpsters for trash and debris disposal, and they utilize 121 portable toilets that are placed along the parade route. You know, information, like I said, shared with us tonight comes from Steve. He gives us some tips of the festival, the balls, the events, and the parade route. But it looks like there's 25 total parades in the area, and this does not include Baton Rouge or New Orleans. So let me see if Steve is out there, and he can talk a little bit about those parades. Maybe he's gone to some of them, but there's several that they have each and every day, and actually the very first one began on the 21st of February, and I think the final one probably ends on the 4th, which is Tuesday, Fat Tuesday. So KF5VH, by any chance, do we have a voice tonight, and would you like to share anything with us about those parades?
Well, good evening, Kathy, and happy Mardi Gras to everybody on board the net tonight. I've certainly attended the Mardi Gras. My first one in 1986 here, and it's always a time of great excitement, one way or another. Something exciting is going to happen. Matter of fact, the parade you mentioned, the first parade of the year here, that is the 92nd video, or two floats from that parade are the 92nd video on top of the website. And if you've never seen it before, just give you a little peek into what it looks like to be standing in the crowd and looking up at the floats. And W5JSM right now is at the crew of Bonaparte Parade with his wife and daughter. And we may get some live pictures from the parade that's going to roll here through the full parade route. It starts in about 8 minutes. So we may have a fresh picture tonight to add to the website of a parade as it is in progress. Back to you, Kathy. K6SUN, KF5VH.
All right, Steve. Thanks for sharing that. And actually, there's so many parades out there, ladies and gentlemen. And he's talking about the crew of the Bonaparte, I believe, which is, he said, is tonight. But today they also had a children's parade. But, you know, one of the parades they had, and this was on way back last Saturday, was a canine parade. It was a doggy parade. But, you know, they have so many. Sometimes they have four and five a day. And that's what Mardi Gras is about the parades. And hopefully we can get some additional pictures in some of those parades. And I'm not going to go into a lot of the parades because there are so many of them. I want to go in more with the information about Mardi Gras. So, but just know that I believe that first parade that Steve is talking about, and I may mispronounce this, Steve, is Crew of Lucia Parade. And like I said, every day they have tons and tons of parades out there. Children's Parade and the one he's talking about tonight. And then it continues on through the 4th with the final parades. So with that, I'm going to just buy a short little nickel here. And I'm going to ask for check-ins once again before I actually go into a little bit of some of the history and some of the information that Steve has shared with me. So with that, let's see if we have any other check-ins that would like to come aboard at this point. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, your net control. This evening we're discussing Mardi Gras. Have you ever gone to it? You know, Mississippi and Alabama have them as well. And who knows, maybe Florida does. So any check-ins at this point, please come aboard.
RMO with a recheck.
All right, Mr. RMO, I'm going to pick you up as a recheck. But let me see if anyone else out there is listening. Any new check-ins that came aboard? Or anybody that's been listening? How about coming aboard and just saying hi to us this evening? Whether you've been to Mardi Gras or not, we sure want to hear from you. So anyone else want to join Mr. RMO checking in during this session?
Oscar Victor India.
All right, I have you, Pete, and your audio is lower than it was earlier today. So hopefully it'll pick up for you. I'm going to pick up these two fine gentlemen, and then we're going to continue a little bit about the history, and we're going to talk about the king cake and some other things that go on. But we sure want you to come aboard and share any information with us this evening. So, Mr. Gary, KC2RMO, come back aboard.
Well, thank you, ma'am. And I boosted things a little bit, so hopefully the levels will be back to where they normally are. As long as it's clean, that's the big thing with me. I just wanted folks to be encouraged. I just want to add my voice to that. Go to the website and play that video. It's awesome. It is absolutely awesome. It really does look like you're there. And they're playing Mary Chapin Carpenter with Twist and Shout in the background, which is an insanely cool song. Great little Telecaster lick in there. It's this banjo roll he does that's Impossible to duplicate. I wouldn't even try, but it sounds great. And but what a great video that is. So definitely go to the South Cars homepage, the VoIP homepage, and have yourself a look at that video. It's definitely worth it. That's all for now. We'll send it back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Well, Gary, thanks for sharing that. I haven't had a chance to look at it. I was excited with the pictures that were there. Every time I see those crawfish and the massive amounts of them and how they cook them, you know, I often wonder what they taste like. But I think Steve has told me it's like lobster or like shrimp. So I've had that. So I always enjoy looking at those pictures. But I'll go back on to the video after the net and make sure I can look at that. Probably by that time, Steve will have more up. So with that, I'm going to pick up you, Pete. KD4OVI, what would you like to share with us this evening? And hopefully all has gone well in your household today.
This is Philadelphia 4, Oscar Rich India. Hope I'm coming in a little better. I put my mixer back in line again and see, hope it it's working better. But anyway, getting back to Mardi Gras, yes, I was in the Mardi Gras, but I was in New Orleans for a visit and saw the antique shops that are in these streets that are changing off of the main street there. My gosh, you could really go in there and buy yourself one of these real antique night suits. That means all metal. You can see everyone in a metal suit. And you probably fly over to England and be knighted by the Queen. Anyway, they have some marvelous places. I like the way they have their antiquity shops. They're walking it to the balcony, how they all dressed up in the balcony. Oh, it must be a fun time in Mardi Gras there. With all that old, you go back in the history. You can go back to 18th, 19th, or 1700th century with all that antiquity there and live that kind of style of life. But anyway, I just wanted to put my 2 cents into here, and everything's well so far. Would somebody please tell me if I'm supposed to set the clock ahead or I think it's ahead, right? This is springtime. You're setting it forward. I hope that's the way I get it. But anyway, I mean, we all don't like that. It's here I say to him anyway, but you gotta go through it one way or the other. I hope my audio is okay. And I hope everything's well with you, Kathy. And that's my contribution for the night. Hope everything goes through. I'd be interested to listen to all that good stuff that you have to see about the Mardi Gras, the origin of it, and this and that. I thought down in the Key West, they had something similar to that. I'm not sure. But that Key West down there might be a spin-off of Mardi Gras. I'm not sure. But someone could come on and tell me a little bit about that, too. Maybe you want to tell someone about Key West, too, while you're on the podium there. Kathy, KD4OVI, Victor India. Back to next control. Toodaloo.
Well, Pete, it's not toodaloo yet. That's at the end of the net. And actually, I'm going to call on someone very shortly, but I'm not sure if he's going to talk to you about the time or not. But remember this saying, you fall back and you spring forward. And actually, that's a week from now. And the only problem with daylight savings time is, you know, it's hard changing from time to time. But your audio got a little bit better. It was low at the beginning. It did get better, and hopefully you'll enjoy what I have to share with you. And Key West, I thought there was a Bourbon Street down there too, but I'm not sure. There may be, I think Duval Street is the major street down there, but there may be a Bourbon down there. So KY6V, you asked to come back aboard. What would you like to share with us?
Oh, just a couple of quick comments. Thanks, Kathy. Well, I'm sure there's Bourbon down in Key West now. Whether it's a street or not, I have no idea. First, Gary, your audio is super, sir. A lock and load. I wanted to mention something before we forgot about getting back to it, Pete. You made a very apropos comment. You said you put your mixer back in. I'm assuming that this mixer is a program within your computer and not an external mixer, but either or. Earlier in the day, you did not have this faint beginning in a built-up of amplitude that you have had here recently. Tonight, you've got it back. So that mixer, in my opinion, must have an automatic AGC control that's causing that anomaly. Think about it, and we'll talk about it later. Back to you, Kathy, from KY6V.
All right. Thank you so much to those who have connected so far. But let me go into a little bit of the history of Mardi Gras. And I'm going to talk about something that Steve shared with me last year. And I'm going to share that with you this year. We're going to talk about the king cake. And we're just going to go into a little bit to, you know, what this day is. And we talked about it being Fat Tuesday. And then we'll ask for check-ins again. But, you know, the first formal Mardi Gras ball and parade in Lafayette dates back to 1869. In 1897, King Attakapas, the first Mardi Gras king, was crowned, and the first organized parade was held in Lafayette. Now, this king rode into Lafayette on a Southern Pacific train, which had been decorated to look like a royal throne, then proceeded to lead the Mardi Gras parade. Formal Mardi Gras balls and parades after 1897 seemed to come and go until 1934, when the Southwest Louisiana Mardi Gras Association was formed by representatives from civic and service organizations to ensure that Lafayette would always have a Mardi Gras celebration. Today, as in 1934, Queen Evangeline and King Gabriel, who symbolized the Acadian sweethearts separated during the expulsion of the Acadians from Nova Scotia in Longfellow's Evangeline, are reunited each year at Mardi Gras to rule over the Mardi Gras festivities. Let me pause for a moment. I'm going to give you a little story, and this is one Steve gave me last year. It's about the Acadian Courier de Mardi Gras, and hopefully I pronounced that right, Steve. You know, the rural Mardi Gras celebration, the Courier de Mardi Gras, dates back to the earliest days of the area's settlement and is still considered a rite of passage for many young men of the area. In small towns, you can still see and participate in the Mardi Gras traditions that have been followed for hundreds of years. With its roots firmly in the medieval tradition of ceremonial begging, bands of masked and costumed horseback riders roam the countryside begging for ingredients for their communal gumbo. Le Capitaine, a capped but unmasked captain, stops his revelers at a distance while he approaches with a white flag and asks permission for his riders to enter the owner's property. If permission is granted, the captain lowers his white flag and the riders charge towards the house. There, they dismount and proceed to dance and sing for live chickens and other donations such as rice, onions, and flour to be used in the gumbo. The captain and his group of masked riders return to town in the late afternoon with their loot. The day's festivities usually end with a pies, doo-doo, and lots of gumbo for Mardi Gras revelers. So with that, let me drop it here and ask for some check-ins.
Victor Hotel.
RMO with a tidbit.
All right, we have our expert in the field, Steve, and I bet he's going to tell me I mispronounced some things, but I hope that he can share a little further about the gumbo and this little event. And then we have RMO. Is there anybody else at this point that would like to come aboard and check in? Remember, if you have no information, Mardi Gras, that's fine. We'd sure like to hear from you, if just merely a check-in. So anyone else want to join these two fine gentlemen this evening? All right, hearing nothing, I'm going to pick up Steve, our expert on Mardi Gras. KF5VH, Steve, I know I mispronounced that, and I know you're going to tell me the correct pronunciation, but can you explain anything further about maybe the history and about this event with the horseback riders?
Well, Kathy, you were very close. It's Career de Mardi Gras. And as a matter of fact, we have a picture of that in the slideshow. So on the website below the video, one of the rotating pictures down there shows a couple guys. They are standing up in their costumes. They're standing up in their saddles because a Career de Mardi Gras is done from horseback. And they're standing up and they're holding some unusual blue cans that probably contain the liquid that you think it does. But you can go to the website and see that. Also on the website, we have the Crawfish 101 instructions, how you eat them, and also a picture of a big cooker doing probably somewhere between 500 and 700 pounds of crawfish all in one boil. Back to you, Kathy, K6SUN, KF5VH.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I remember you shared this with me last year. And actually, you shared a YouTube video, as I was able to go through that and watch that, because that was new information for me, and I wanted to share that once again. And I have seen that on the website, by the way. I've looked through the pictures, and I saw how you take apart the crawfish, but the problem is, I don't know if I can get any crawfish in this area, so you may just have to send me some, not 500, but I sure would like to try it, and I'm not sure if I can make it up to New Orleans or in that area to get any, but I appreciate you sharing that with us. You know, when I do shrimp, it's, you know, I only have little pieces of shrimp. I don't have the whole shrimp, but it's probably pretty much like a lobster. But thanks for coming aboard and sharing that with us, and I'm going to throw it to you from time to time because I know you have a lot to share with us. And so with that, I'll break with you, Steve. Thanks once again for being here. Thanks for what you do for South Cares, and thanks for providing me with some fantastic information. I'm going to pick up my backup, KC2RMO, and let's see what he has to share with us this evening.
Well, thank you, Kath. I just wanted to open up the KC2RMO vault of useless information and pass along the fact that the Acadian was a model of Canadian Pontiac from the early 60s right up to the, I think, to the late 70s. But occasionally, because of our proximity to the Dominion of Canada, we would occasionally see an Acadian here in Syracuse. But I have absolutely no idea why I remembered that, but I figured I'd pass it along for what it was worth. KC2RMO, going back to the net.
One simple comment to you, Gary. It's a car, and you're wanting those old cars, so you remember the Acadian. But I've never heard that as far as a vehicle. But, you know, I remember Steve telling me about this event last year, and he'll have to come aboard. And when he said the blue container, I'll have to relook at that picture. Or maybe you can share that later, what is actually in that blue container. But, you know, with that, I'm going to, that's the end of my list. I'm going to go into a little bit more with you. You know, George, who's not here this evening, he usually went to Mississippi around the Mardi Gras time. And I know he's gone back to work full-time, and he's now at Bike Week, so he's probably not here. But he shared some information about the King Cake with me. And there's actually a lot of information that you can find out there about that King Cake. So I'm going to share that with you. So let me pause for a moment. You know, the King Cake is an elliptically shaped cake, traditionally decorated, there we go with those colors again, green, purple, and gold sugar. Can you imagine that? The cakes made with fat, sugar, and eggs are eaten to signify the coming fasting season. A plastic baby in the cake represents the three magi finding the baby Jesus. The person who receives the baby in their piece of cake is supposed to purchase the next king cake. The history of the king cake began in the 12th century, France, where the cake would be baked on the eve of January 6th to celebrate the visit to the Christ child by the three kings. And a small token was hidden in the cake as a surprise for the finder. Now, Mardi Gras, or Fat Tuesday, is the last day, like I said, before the Lent season, when Catholics are supposed to begin fasting for penance until Easter. You know, carnival season traditionally began when these, like I said, these three magi arrived in Bethlehem and concluded on Ash Wednesday. Its party-like atmosphere and traditions, however, can be traced to pagan spring festivals, circus-like orgies that celebrated fertility and abundance. You know, when Christianity arrived in Rome, church leaders adopted these festivals into the religion and associated them with the overeating and the heavy drinking that came before the fasting of Lent. As Roman power and Christianity spread, so did the carnival. They eventually arrived in France, where the carnival season traditionally climaxed on the final day before Ash Wednesday and was later exported to its colonies, like Louisiana. Let me pause here for a moment, and I'll give you one final tidbit, and then I'll ask for check-ins. You know, down here in Florida right now, in St. Lucie County, we have a fair going on, and everyone's excited with that fair. But you know, during Mardi Gras, there's a full-blown fairground set up next to the University of Louisiana at Lafayette Football Stadium, including two of the largest beer tents you have ever seen. Fair rides day and night, and when you are Cajun, you can't have fun without that music. So, Steve, you're an expert on the University of Louisiana. Hopefully you can share a little bit about this with us as well. So with that, let me throw it out there to anyone anywhere who would like to check in, make any comments on what we've talked about, or just merely to check in. I'm looking for those check-ins.
Kilowatt Charlie 9, Yankee Zulu Romeo.
And RMO one more time.
All right, I have Yankee Zulu Romeo. Good evening, Bernie. And I have you, Gary, and no, it's not your last time. You're here for the long haul. Is there anyone else who would like to come aboard at this point and make any comments? So I'm looking for some additional check-ins this evening. All right, hearing nothing, Bernie, I'm going to call on you to make your comments and share with us. I know you're in Wisconsin, but maybe you've come to Mardi Gras. Or maybe they celebrate something like that up north as well. So come aboard this evening and share with us.
Okay, Kathy. Well, I've never been to Mardi Gras. And actually, from where I was in the United States, I was down to Missouri and over to Denver, Colorado, and then states over to Alabama, and from Wisconsin later on. I was down through Tennessee and Kentucky and North and South Carolina and Georgia and Florida, but never was to Louisiana, and so I don't really have much to add there. I went to a store earlier today, and the Girl Scouts were selling Girl Scout cookies, so I bought a box of cranberry citrus crisp cookies from them there to help them out. But nothing else is going on here. I was just watching a couple of movies from the Old West there, and saw Sally Field in one of the movies. But as far as Mardi Gras goes, last year I was watching it. Someone had set up a camera under the eaves. I think it was on the second floor of a building, under the eave or something. And I don't know which street corner it was on there, but they were streaming it, what was going on at the Mardi Gras last year over Ustream. I don't know if you ever watched anything via Ustream, but that's what I was doing that one time. But I don't have the web address anymore. I don't know if I could find it or not this year, but they were streaming from some corner there on what was going on in the streets there, and streaming it via Ustream. 7-3 and back to net, K6SUN, KC9YZR.
Well, Bernie, thanks for joining us this evening. I, too, haven't been to Mardi Gras or Mississippi or Louisiana, but I always see some great pictures of it, and some of that food is fantastic. And if you haven't had a chance, make sure you get to our website and look at some of the pictures Steve has put on there. He's got a YouTube video of actually one of the parades. He's got a lot on there of the crawfish and how you take them apart and how you cook them and the massive amounts that they have. And they cook them with corn, actually, in a giant pot. But if you have a chance, look at that, and we'll probably be putting a lot more there. So hopefully you'll listen as we continue. I do have information that I would like to share with everyone about Mardi Gras, especially if you've never been there. It's quite some interesting information. But with that, I'll break with you, Bernie, but at any point you want to come back aboard, I sure hope that you do. It's nice hearing you this evening. So with that, Mr. Gary, RMO, what would you like to share with us?
Well, thank you, ma'am. Actually, you know, I was just thinking of a couple of things. Number one, that, you know, since I'm in this semi-retired state now, you know, it does really make that idea of visiting Louisiana and seeing a Mardi Gras, it means brings a little bit closer to reality. You know, it could be something that we could do one of these years. We could organize a southern tour, and that might be kind of fun, you know. But I did have an actual serious question for Steve, and obviously the amount of damage that Katrina did to the city was enormous. And how did that affect Mardi Gras, I guess, is the question. Has it recovered to any extent? Or, you know, what is the status of that? And maybe Kath, you're going to get into this a little bit later on. So if I've asked the question prematurely, 1,000 pardons, but that kind of popped into my mind, so I thought I'd advance it. KC2, RMO, going back to the net.
Well, Gary, I'll actually throw that out for Steve in case he's there still listening. Actually, I think that they've come back fantastically. I remember... I think they had a football team, you know, and they lost that stadium and they came back, so I'm sure Mardi Gras has. But maybe we can get someone that's an expert in that area to share with us what Katrina did as far as Mardi Gras. Steve, are you there? Can you answer this question for Gary?
Well, I'll give it a try, Kathy. I'm not an expert on New Orleans, but my understanding is that much of the damage happened in the residential areas of the city, where the central business district, including the French Quarter, fared the disaster there much better. And the parades, to a large degree, are centered around the central business district. So as far as I know, the parades are, if they're not totally back up to full strength, they're pretty close. And they are as wild as ever. That's the big difference. Family-oriented Mardi Gras here, and New Orleans Mardi Gras there. KF5VH, back to you.
Well, thank you, Steve, for sharing that. And I actually am going to go through a little, and I think you shared that with us last year, is that Lafayette is mainly family-oriented and fun, where New Orleans centers around the French Quarter, Bourbon Street, and some of what we don't want to discuss tonight. But I'm actually going to go into a little bit of that, because that's what, you know, the misconception of a lot of people is that Mardi Gras is New Orleans and that area, and that's what it represents. And that takes a little bit of it away from those who are family-oriented and want children. So hopefully, Gary, that answered the question that the parades are centered around, I think he said, the business district. And I guess the major damage was done around the French Quarter, which we'll talk about in a few moments. And so with that, that was the end of my list. So let me continue on with some more information. And, you know, I'll ask for check-ins as we go along. And there's a lot of us listening, but we don't hear too many of you. So hopefully you'll come back aboard. But, you know, the police department, they want to ensure everyone has a safe Mardi Gras. This is Lafayette. The first parade for Lafayette happened, like we said, last Saturday night. That was February 22nd, and that happened at 6:30 p.m. All the streets on and around the parade route were closed 1 hour before the parade began. While the first parade was not until Saturday evening, the parade barricades were put out along the route on Thursday, and that was February 20th. They will be in place until the parade on Saturday the 22nd. Now that has passed, and after, the barricades will be put back in place on Thursday. The same procedure will also happen for all these other dates. You know, last night there was one, today there is one, and on Monday there is another parade. So on Mardi Gras Day, which is Tuesday the 4th, there will be three parades that will be scheduled at 10 a.m., 1 p.m., and 2 p.m. All streets in and around the parade route will be closed until the completion of the final parade of the day. Let me pause for a moment. You know, there's several command posts for the Lafayette Police Department along the route. Police remind residents that they should remind their children that if they become separated, they should go to a police officer along the route, or they can go to one of those command posts. Parents are also asked to secure a note with the child's clothing with their name, address, and telephone number of someone to contact in case they're separated. And police ask that the number be of a person who will be home, not with the parent or the child. So, you know, the police are in quite control there, and I think they're a very important part of keeping things under control. You know, anyone needing medical help, there's an ambulance service there that will help along the parade route. You know, there's many things and items that are not allowed at the parade or along the route this year. So I want to share that with you, and let me pause once again. You know, any product that is manufactured for the purpose of being thrown against a hard surface or stepped on to make a popping noise, such as snaps, pops, or cracker balls, silly string, animals, rollerblading, whips, glass containers, no flashing, and that means exposing yourself, no throwing items back at the float riders, or entering the barricade areas during the parades is not allowed and strictly enforced. And you know, Steve, if you'd like to share this with us, there's quite a music schedule that goes on during the festivals and the parades. So I'd like to hear a little bit about that before I go on. So with that, Steve, I hope I'm not wearing out your voice. I'd like you to share with us about any of those musical festivals, because we have a lot of musicians out here. Anyone else that would like to come aboard as well? I'm asking for check-ins. So, Steve, can you first of all come aboard and share about the music?
Well, I can certainly try. The music that's associated with the Mardi Gras to a large degree is regional. You have bands like Gio Delafosse and the French Rock and Boogie. You have Chez Oui, Molly Ringwald's Lundi Gras, Louisiana Kids, Corey and the Zydeco Hot Peppers, Wayne Toups and Zydeco Cajun. May have never heard of those before, maybe only one, but around here, those are all bands. They play the music, and if they're playing the music here, they're playing it because you can dance to it. There's a real, you know, ride fair, like a state fair type setup, and there is a band stand there. And in the evenings, afternoons and evenings, it's constant music and it's constant dancing. Back to you, Kathy, K6SUN, KF5VH.
Well, Steve, thanks for sharing that, and I hope that I'm not wearing out your voice this evening. But like I said, you have a lot of information to share. So I wanted to hear about the music in the area. And Pete in the text box, I'll actually go through that with you. You heard me talk about the beer tent, so obviously you can. And actually, that does happen quite often, I'm sure. So with that, thank you once again, Steve. And thanks for coming aboard and sharing this evening all this valuable information, because even though you don't think you're an expert, you know more than I do about Mardi Gras. So with that, how about some more check-ins coming aboard? All right, hearing nothing, I'm going to continue on. But I would sure like you to come aboard if to say nothing more than just hi to us this evening. We're going to talk about the cruise. Now, this is really social clubs. There's a lot of balls that go on during Mardi Gras. So the crews are simply social clubs that gather together to put on a ball or a parade during the carnival season. There are more than 24 such crews in the area, and many have both a parade and a ball, which is a formal dance and pageant with members who are chosen as kings and queens to reign over the festivities. This is one of the most confusing things for outsiders who don't understand how or why there are royals in Louisiana. What started as a way to mock royalty hundreds of years ago has become a path for well-connected and wealthy citizens to don royal robes and actually become a king or a queen for a day. The royal honors are taken quite seriously. Many a mother has grieved over whether her daughter will get chosen as that year's queen or royal maid in a particular ball. Some parents make it their full-time job to make sure that that happens. Not all crews are so formal, however. Some crews invite anyone who wants to join and pay dues to do so, while others adhere to a membership process that is usually kept private, and only those who are asked to join can become members. You know, the crew of Carnival in Rio is one of the youngest crews, but it holds one of the highest or largest balls and parades. The parade is a colorful carnival themed show of floats that resemble the celebrations in Rio de Janeiro. If you want all-out Las Vegas-style show-stopping pageantry, however, look no further than Crew of Apollo, an all-male crew. The costumes alone are worth seeing. And I'm going to leave the cruise at this point, and I'll continue in just a moment, but let me pause. Now, we're going to talk about the beads and the throws and what they call the doublons. And this is usually from those floats that go by. And then I'm going to again ask for some check-ins. You know, the throwing of trinkets to the crowds was started in the early 1870s by the 12th Night Revelers and is a time-honored expectation for young and old alike. Special throws with the crew's emblem become collector's items. Some crews have special beads made for them that are stamped with the club's logo and the year of the parade. These are the fancy ones you will see with a medallion or something special hanging from them. Typically, float riders will throw the special beads along with the inexpensive plastic one. It has always been said that the crew members spend thousands of dollars on beads and throws for parades, and it's probably true. Boxes and boxes of beads and doublons. Now, this is metal coins or medallions stamped with that crew's logo. And trinkets that will last the entire parade route can get expensive. The cost to ride on a float and buy enough throws to last the entire parade can be as much as hundreds to thousands of dollars. You know, it's traditional for crew members to give crew favors to royalty and guests they invite to the ball. Those favors are traditionally a keepsake engraved with the crew's logo and the year and the theme of the ball. So with that, before we continue, I'm going to once again ask for some check-ins. Some of you are quiet out there, so we want you to come aboard and just say hi to us this evening or make any comments. So this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, looking for some check-ins.
RMO.
And Victor X-Ray Papa.
All right, that's a pretty good group. OVI, Mr. Pete, your audio is back down again. Very, very low. So you need to get closer to that mic when you come aboard. Gary, Mr. RMO, what would you like to come aboard and share with us? Or maybe you have another question. Or maybe you have a comment. So thanks for being here. Thanks for coming back aboard.
Well, Kath, as always, it's great to be here. And no, I missed that last check-in because I was just so taken back by the no flashing edict that it just took me a minute to recover. You know, it's like what's this world coming to when you can't, you know? But seriously, I loved Steve talking about those bands. I love Cajun music. I've never had the occasion to, obviously, sitting here in Syracuse, New York, you don't get a lot of Cajun musicians. It would be great just to sit in with a bunch of guys doing the traditional Cajun stuff, you know, a little accordion, some acoustic guitars and stuff like that. It would be really awesome. But it just sounded great, and I love the names. So figured I'd just pass that along, and we'll go back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
All right. Thank you so much for sharing that. And actually, we're going to go into next about Bourbon Street and the French Quarter, and you can hear some of that information. But thanks for coming aboard. Hopefully you're enjoying and learning some new information, because every year there's something new out there. And actually, hopefully Steve can report on the weather up there. You know, it's been beautiful down here. And hopefully it's been beautiful up there for all those people out enjoying the Mardi Gras. So with that, Mr. Pete, KD4OVI, come aboard. Hopefully your audio is a little better so we can hear you. And take your mouth maybe a little closer to that microphone. But KD4OVI, what would you like to share with us?
Hi, it's Joop. I hope I'm coming in too. I put my mixer back in again. Threw the ATC out. I'll have to buy a new audio card. How about that? I'm going to take an audio trip down Primrose Lane and find out an audio card that will stick with me. Yeah. But anyway, one thing I wanted to say, year after year after year, are they going to dull the festivities with all these new regulations that they're putting on board? Or will they stop this regulation fit and let the people have some fun down there? From Katie for Oscar McKinney. Over.
Well, Pete, hopefully Steve can share that with us. But, you know, things change from time to time and every year. You know, one of the things that's not required along that route, obviously, would be weapons and fireworks. Bicycles aren't even allowed, and glass containers and no pets are allowed. So things are changing, and that's because of protection and safety for all those concerned. But hopefully, maybe Steve can come back aboard as we continue, and he can talk to us about that. But I will say that probably things will change every single year because of problems they've had one year. They'll make restrictions the next year. So hopefully that answers it. Your audio still was a little bit low. So you probably should do something with that mixer. Maybe put it in a mixer or a blender. Maybe you'll become louder when you do that. So with that, I'm going to pick up a VXP. Rick up there in Ohio, what would you like to share with us, Rick? Whether you've been to Mardi Gras, or you've listened to it, or you've had news reports about it, or you just want to come aboard and share with us this evening. So what are your comments, Rick? And hopefully you're having a good day up there in Ohio.
This is N1PXP, Rick in Chillicothe, Ohio. Yeah, nice day today, but all good things do come to an end. We're in for a winter storm watch for tomorrow. Possible 1 to 3 inches during the day with another 3 to 5 by the evening. So spring does not want to end up showing up at all. Kind of an unusual thing that happened. I was watching the, I was over at a grocery store, and I actually got bombarded by four mallard ducks. Actually came right up to me. Apparently they got kind of lost, and they started just begging around for food for anybody, and they just wouldn't let me go. I mean, I was walking around and they were following me. I was like, okay guys, that's enough. I knew enough to go inside a grocery store, and I bought a little bag of popcorn, and they were my buddies as long as I had the popcorn. But as soon as it was all gone, they end up finding somebody else. But I guess spring is definitely trying to make its way. Anyway, I've been down in New Orleans, not during the festival, but in my travels up in New England, I've been to other ethnic festivals, particularly the West Indian Parade, They also had a Jamaican parades in the Hartford, Connecticut area, as well as Puerto Rican, which, let me drop for a second. For anybody that's not been around those, they do kind of resemble the Mardi Gras. They have their own little groups and festivals that kind of are similar. Their own food, as well as costumes, parades, and if I'm not mistaken, I remember the Jamaican Day parades. They had the throws as well. Of course, they were different. They were the beads, and you know, it was just a lot of fun for the whole families to get together. And all those parades and festivals were really to kind of get the people that are not familiar with their customs and traditions together to really have a good, fun day. Always thought it was, you know, it was a great time. Like I said, a lot of good food, a lot of great activities, and usually highlighted by the end with the big parade, usually at the beginning or towards the end, and great music, just a lot of real good fun activities. One of these days, hopefully, I will be able to make it to the Mardi Gras, but that way I can say, well, I've been through just about every type of activity that's, you know, something to really have fun. M1PXP, back to net control.
Well, thank you, Rick, so much for sharing about the mallards. You know, I've had something like that, too. And I think that actually was, it was seagulls. I don't think it was mallards. I think it was seagulls. As long as you had something to share with them, they were your buddies. But once you didn't, they were gone. So Gary put a cute little comment in the text box. Rick, you should read that. But thanks for being here and coming aboard and sharing. And I'm glad that you could be to New Orleans. I've never been there. You know, I've gone to a lot of states, but I've not, I don't think I've ever been in Louisiana. I know my son went down there for a job once, but, you know, I sure have never been there. And it's not that far, so hopefully one day I can be there. But I wanted to share some comments about what Pete was talking about. He's saying, with this year, are things going to change? Well, this year things did change, and I want to tell you some of the things that have been prohibited. And maybe this is because of last year. You can't have ladders or other personal effects like grills or coolers closer than 6 feet to the curb. And as some of you may not know, there's people that get there. A parade usually is at night. There are people that get there just like Christmas time when they go to the store so early. There are people that get to those parades early in the morning to save their spot for themselves and their families. You know, parking on certain streets are prohibited. There's now a ban on roping off territory via chairs, tarps, or anything else if you're in the public right away. And this includes neutral ground and sidewalks. There can be no private portable toilets in the neutral ground or other private property. And I think what I was reading also, they have the outside toilets, but they're a real problem for anyone to use. So people that do attend Mardi Gras, don't use those outdoor facilities. So what I want to share with you next is about Bourbon Street and the French Quarter, since I know that's what some of you are wanting to hear. So with that, let me pause it for just a moment. Okay, we've heard about Bourbon Street tonight. We've heard about the French Quarter. You know, it's not a tradition, but it does happen. Within the last 10 or so years, a few spring break age tourists visiting the city, this could be anywhere in Louisiana, but I'm thinking of New Orleans, has started getting drunk after the parades on Bourbon Street in the French Quarter, causing them to lose their inhibitions. This has drawn a lot of onlookers. The end result is that certain types of individuals are now attracted to the French Quarter in the evenings after the parades. Throughout the year, The beautiful balconies in the French Quarter are noted for being a wonderful place to enjoy the history, the atmosphere, and culture of the city as the sounds of jazz drift by after a fantastic meal. During Mardi Gras, many think of them as a place to get away from the crowd surges below. Bourbon Street balconies during Mardi Gras are now sold to news media, large corporations, or long-term customers up to 5 years in advance. Sadly, many bystanders caught in this crowd will never return to Mardi Gras because they don't realize they did not experience the real Mardi Gras. The flashing for beads and related behavior does not occur in other areas of the city. The Mardi Gras that locals grew up with, enjoyed, and loved is occurring in every other part of New Orleans and the surrounding suburbs, but not in the French Quarter. Let me pause for a moment. The large traditional Mardi Gras crews who bring you the greatest free show on earth do not even parade through the quarter because there is a size restriction on floats in that area. There are some small foot parades through the French Quarter, but nothing like what you see in photos and videos, or that you would normally think of when you hear the word parade. That is why you never see a large parade with floats filmed from a balcony in the quarter, only the crowds after the parades. Many look forward to the day people will again understand, appreciate, and experience the magic of Mardi Gras. In fact, this is the best place to come if you have a child and want to enjoy outdoor picnics and watch the greatest free show on earth. You and your family will enjoy watching marching bands, listening to music in the air, and catching free toys, doubloons, and beads. You can feel the excitement in the air. While you wait for the parade, have that cotton candy and sit down on the chair or right on the ground with the rest of the family. Enjoy watching others throw frisbees and walk their dogs. Watch for the approaching parades and see if you can catch doubloons from the celebrities. So, unfortunately, I'm going to pause a moment and share some final comments with you. You know, unfortunately, and in part due to the way the news media has focused on the activities of those who visit and go to the French Quarter after the parades, when people hear the words Mardi Gras, all they think about are activities occurring in the French Quarter. That is not Mardi Gras. It has absolutely nothing to do with the real Mardi Gras celebration. It is our hope, and that's the hope of those living in Louisiana, that visitors who have seen internet sites by tourists showcasing these tourists will realize that they are only seeing 0.1% of what happens during the entire Mardi Gras season in New Orleans. Hopefully, people will soon realize Mardi Gras is an enjoyable celebration for family and friends. Like Steve has said, locals stay away from the crowded French Quarter in the evenings after a parade. But we wouldn't miss Mardi Gras for the world. How about some check-ins as we start to conclude this evening on our Mardi Gras celebration? Any check-ins anywhere that would like to check in?
Victor Hotel.
And RMO.
All right, I have Victor Hotel and I have RMO. And Steve, you are one that has told me many times about that French Quarter and staying away from that. And I didn't want to share a lot of that this evening. You know, it's not what Mardi Gras is all about, and I'm sure you'll share that with us. So I have Victor Hotel and RMO. Anyone else want to come aboard as we start to wind down this evening's celebration of Mardi Gras? So I'm looking for some other check-ins.
Oscar, Victor India, for comments.
All right, I'll pick up these jump. You know, Pete, that, you know, I have a mixer that mixes up potatoes and different things. And, you know, if, I won't say it. Your mixer doesn't sound like mine. So you need to do something with that mixer of yours. Maybe you need to throw it away and start from scratch. So with that, let me pick up you, Victor Hotel. I want you to share any other comments with us this evening because I'm going to start to wind down. Share with us about the floats, maybe, and that French Quarter, and anything else you'd like to share with us because you've been there many times and you've shared that with your family. So what are your comments this evening?
Let's give New Orleans a fair shake. If you're in the French Quarter and you stay within the tourist area, it's a wonderful place, a great experience. But do not wander outside the tourist area. You'll get an experience you won't appreciate. Also want to mention, for us, this is a big deal. I only have numbers from the year 2000, but in 2000, in the last 4 days, ending on Mardi Gras, they had over 1 million people view parades in the area. And the total economic spending in the year 2000 was over $55 million associated with something to do with Mardi Gras. South Cars also has its roving reporter, W5JSM, who has just sent me a picture of a parade that is rolling. So I will put that on the website in 4 or 5 minutes. There should be a fresh picture there of a parade that is rolling as we speak. Back to you, Kathy, KF5VH.
All right. Thank you, Steve. By any chance, before you leave, can you leave the video that's there? Because I haven't seen that yet. And add another one, or can you only have one video? And thanks for sharing that with us about the tourist area of the French Quarter. And I didn't go into a lot, which was on a lot of the websites about that. And, you know, there are people that look for that area that you're saying you don't want to go to. But to me, that's not family, and that's not what a lot of people want to see. But before I move on to RMO, Steve, can you leave both of them there so I can at least look at the previous one?
Yeah, the new one is a still, so we'll add it to the still slides. We'll leave them up so everyone can take a look. KF5VH.
All right, thank you so much for that. And actually, I have a request to speak with you, and that is KY6V. So before I move on to Gary, let me throw it over to you, Gordon. I think you have a contact with VH, Steve.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy. And excuse me, Gary, I'll make this very short. Steve, a quick question. I've looked at that current picture several times of the parade, and I've asked myself the question, what do the floats really depict? You know, to me, they look like rubber rafts that are used by the Navy SEALs for landing. Are they simulating a crawfish, or what am I looking at, sir? Over. He might be busy trying to get that picture pulled together. One more time, did you copy that, Steve? And it's, you know, a double-deck float I'm referring to in the current picture, over.
I just walked back into the room. Gordon, say the question again.
The current picture on the website of the parade. Would you describe to me what the float is really depicting? What I was saying, it looks like a double-deck landing raft for the Navy SEALs, but is that supposed to be a crawfish, or what am I looking at? Over.
I'll have to take a look at it. And just to make things more complicated, I just got the dinner call, too. So we'll leave the pictures up, and I'll let you know what I see when I take a look.
Yeah, no rush on that. Thank you, and send it to Gary. And Gary, thank you for the break. Kathy, KY6V.
All right, Gordon, I'll just give you a little explanation what I have about the floats. I haven't looked at what's on the website, so I can't see what that float's about. But, you know, parades are a major part of Mardi Gras, and their floats mean something, have something to do with their history, the Mardi Gras history. Some floats are elaborate and beautiful, while others are funny and satirical. So, you know, they probably have a theme every year they have to follow, just like a lot of other things. History fair and science fair down here the same way. They probably followed a theme. So I'm thinking it's possibly a theme. But that may not be the correct answer, but that's just my thoughts. So with that, I'll break with you, and I'll pick up Gary, KC2RMO.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I think it's kind of like the Mummers Day Parade with the themes. You know, WQ1I could tell you more about the Mummers. That's from his native turf. So next time he's with us, maybe we can ask him about the Mummers. But I just wanted to say that, first of all, it's been a really good net. I've learned a lot that I didn't know about the Mardi Gras. And, again, something that that I've always had an interest in. So I hope you know, other people got a little something out of it, too. But all this talk about food made me hungry for spicy stuff. So I went to the kitchen, and I got a box of club crackers in this bottle of this great horseradish that we have here. It's and I don't think, I'm going to put in a plug for it, because I don't know if it's available anywhere outside of Central New York, but if it is, it's called Hell of a Good Horseradish, H-E-L-U-V-A-G-O-O-D, all one word. It has a picture of an old coot on the label. It's the best horseradish in the world. I killed about half a bottle of it listening to this net. And a splendid time was had by all. So there you have it. Hey, let me put in a plug, too, for the Sunday Morning Rag Chew tomorrow morning, where we will be talking about how you got into ham radio. What was the reason, and or how did you get into ham radio? Who sparked, and that's an intentional pun, who sparked your interest? How did you start your journey? That's what we're going to be talking about tomorrow, and hope each and every one of you are there. But right now we'll go back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Well, thank you, Gary. But horseradish I've never had an interest to have, and so I have no clue what it tastes like. And so I'll leave it there. But yes, it has been an interesting net, and there is a lot more information that I could share about Mardi Gras. But we've had a good session, and it's probably time to have everyone go get that dinner like Steve's having. But, you know, they have those different costumes, you know, some of those interesting costumes they have. And I'm sure Steve will show some of those on our website. So let me continue on with OVI, see what his comments are, and then I'm going to... Gordon, please stay in the background. I do not have the closing tonight, so I'd like you to make a closing for me and any other announcements. So OVI, Mr. Pete, come back aboard. Hopefully that mixer's working. If not, I hope that you put it in the garbage disposal. So come aboard.
This is still Delta 4 Oscar Victor India. I hope I don't have to do that. That garbage disposal doesn't like to crunch transistors, nor does it want to crunch all that good circuitry that mankind had so much patience to develop. But anyway, what I was going to say, Jesse, is from a perspective that may be of use, or maybe to think about, is the commercialization of the Mardi Gras. Is it for the better or is it for the worse? Well, they commercialize that thing out of existence by putting in so many restrictions in there that people are not going to bother watching it or participating into it. It's like commercialization of the internet. Every time you get into something, it goes to commercial right in front of it, and it takes so much away from internet time, this commercialization. I'm afraid that that's going to happen to the Mardi Gras. They're going to over-commercialize that thing, so it becomes muted after a while. It won't resemble. What I'm trying to say, it won't resemble Mardi Gras anymore. And that's my comment of the night, Katie. For Oscar McKinney, over.
Well, Pete, everything is commercialized. You know, Valentine's Day, every holiday, and every holiday stays the same. You know, it's the people who make those holidays and those events what they are. So I don't think it'll change. I think it'll always be there, just like Christmas and Easter and Valentine's Day, and all the holidays are there. I don't think it will change. It will be the people that keep it there, even though others may want to make changes. There may be restrictions. There is on everything. You know, down in Florida, we have a lot of different events going on. There's restrictions, but they continue. So I don't think that will make a change. And at least I hope not. But I do hope everyone enjoyed hearing about Mardi Gras this evening. And it will continue on through Tuesday. And on Tuesday, Fat Tuesday, is when some of those who are in that religion have to eat that, I think all those donuts and all those sweets. So I'm going to make a final call out there for anyone anywhere that would like to come aboard to say hi this evening, to make any comments about the Mardi Gras, or just to say hi to us. So at this point, I'm going to throw it out there for some final check-ins before I throw it on to Gordon to actually close this evening. So any final check-ins, want to come aboard and share any comments, now's your time. Suffix is only place. Well, hearing nothing, Gordon, it looks like I'm going to have you, I think you say Fat Lady Sing and end the net this evening. I want to thank each and every one of you for your comments, your participation this evening, and for joining us. But I'm going to throw it over to you, Gordon, and make a plug for In the Morning, and maybe next week, I don't know. But thank you for being there, opening the session. Thank you, Gary, for being my backup. And thank you, each and every one of you, for your participation. But with that, I'm going to say 73 to each and every one of you. Gordon, KY6V, can you close for this evening?
Somehow I can't find that on my agenda, but I'll certainly do so. Thank you, Kathy. Hey, thank you, everybody. As Gary has so eloquently just said, tune in tomorrow if you have the time, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Our Rag Chew starts on Sunday. We're going to have some fun tomorrow. We're going to talk with everybody about how this all got started for them. You know, did you have an Elmer when you got into the hobby that maybe lived next door, which was a real neat guy? Or did you go down to the local radio club and go through some of their courses? What sparked your interest to even start studying? And things of that nature. So come by and see us. Good night, everybody, and thank you very much for being with us. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VOIP net schedules and general information may be found on the VOIP.southcars.com website. Your net controls for this session tonight have been Kathy, K6SUN, and backed up by Mr. Syracuse, that's KC2RMO, our assistant net manager here with South Cars. We're saying 73s and closing this VOIP session. Thank you for your participation. And Kathy, one last note for you. You got talking about eating donuts. I had a picture on my wall at the office before I retired that had it was a picture of a donut, and under that it said, "A pessimist sees the hole, an optimist sees the donut." Good night, everybody. KY6V, and that's clear.